Let's turn to the book of Malachi. While we're going to concentrate today upon words in the second chapter, I will commence by referring you to the opening words of the prophecy. Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob. Keeping your Bibles open, asking the help of the Lord briefly. O Lord, abide with us now. We seek thee. We need the infilling of thy Holy Spirit. We cry to thee in evil days for the infilling of thy Holy Spirit with power. We cry for Spirit-filled preaching. Lord, minister in this way to our hearts, that the fruit of Christ may appear in our lives, that our homes will be blessed with the sunshine of heaven. Defeat the devil. Lord, he's so subtle, and he will attack us from every side. We ask that here in this meeting as a church family, we may be all kept under the shadow of thy wing. Watch over us every day in our going out and coming in. Keep us abiding safely under the wings of the Almighty. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sabbath evening, we dwelt for a little time on the question found in the second verse here. Was not Esau, Jacob's brother? I want you to mark the question. It forms part of the introduction to the book. Now, introductions obviously are important. Introductions in a book of the Bible are like signs or signposts, which are meant to catch the eye. They're meant to point the way along which the vehicle of thought, our thought, is going to travel. If therefore we went to any book of the Bible, never paid any attention to the signs and the signposts, it would be rather much of a coincidence if the vehicle of thought then ran along the right lines. But I can tell you now, as you look with me into the book of Malachi, that these first five verses in Malachi 1 form the introduction. That the introduction is like a sign that God has laid out to take your eye, to take your attention, to guide you in your thinking. Here's a signpost. And the question is definitely asked. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Last Sabbath evening, we dwelt on the differences between Esau and Jacob, brothers though they were. We asked the question then, was not Esau Jacob's brother? And we talked about the differences. These two men brought up in the same family, with the same kind of teaching, the same kind of family influence, in the atmosphere of prayer and of the presence of God. Yet one goes along the way to heaven, and the other, sadly, decides to take the way of the world and the way to hell. These differences run through our families. This is where matters become very, very tender. We feel for our loved ones. We long dearly to see them saved. We want our families to be complete in Christ. And it is sad beyond the power of words to convey to know that some of our loved ones are still out of Christ. A number of us in this congregation have already taken the way to heaven. We're traveling the road home to glory. We belong to the Lord. We're saved by grace. And we have loved ones in our family who are not saved yet. And as the Lord knows, and as we know, If they were to die today, they would drop straight down into hell. And the question is asked to point up the differences between Jacob and Esau, brought up in the family of prayer, brought up in the atmosphere of the house of God, was not Esau Jacob's brother. They had the same privileges, same opportunities. Last Sabbath evening, then, we took this question. Was not Esau, who went to hell, Jacob's brother? Was he not brought up in the atmosphere of prayer and in the house of God? He took the way of the world and went to hell. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? We thought then about the differences. But today, I'm going to ask you to consider the same question, seeing it is an introduction. It is a signpost. And the signpost tells us the direction in which the vehicle of thought is to run. You may pity that driver who, in following a route, pays no heed to the signpost. He'll never get to his destination, unless by the remotest accident. But I'll tell you this. Today we're going to consider the similarities between Jacob and Esau. Last Sunday night, the differences. Today, the similarities. And we're therefore going to ask the question again. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Now, in what way can there be similarities between these two brothers as they are? I suppose, number one, we have to keep in mind that this prophecy of Malachi is written to a particular people. Obviously, it's written to Israel. But on top of that, the prophecy of Malachi is written to a particular people in Israel. As you'll see by chapter 1, verse 6, it is written to the priests of the Lord. As you'll see by chapter 2, verse 1, that same message is continuing to the priests of the Lord. These who belong to the tribe of Levi, consequently, you'll find the name Levi coming up as it does, for example, in chapter 2, verse 4, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. You'll find likewise references in chapter 3, verse 3, for example, to the house of Levi again. So the Lord is talking about a particular people in the ranks of Israel, the tribe of Levi. And this prophecy of Malachi concerns the house of God, concerns the worship of His people, and the family of Levi in particular. We are to think then of ourselves as worshippers, as those who are serving the Lord, those upon whom the burden and the weight of the ministry will fall. How are we performing that ministry? Now, in the times of Malachi, Israel, as a people, has drifted so far away from God. Listen carefully. This people has drifted so far away from God that the sins of Israel have become like the sins of Esau. And when you latch onto that thought, that the nation has gone so far away from God, that this people is no longer like Jacob, the characteristic of Esau has now emerged. Here then is a prophecy that in the opening words draws attention to the family line, to the family connection. And the question is asked undoubtedly to give rise to a very significant line of thought. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? We may then presume that certain family likenesses may appear. My brothers that in early years as children may not show much likeness the one to the other. When they get to be elderly, all of a sudden those inherent family characteristics start to emerge. And where before there was little resemblance, we have to say all of a sudden, I can see the likeness now. I've never seen it all these years, but the family likeness is coming out now very, very markedly in later life. And if I may then personify the nation and say, this is Jacob in the book of Malachi. Jacob in his old age. Why, Jacob in his old age, and remember I'm speaking about the nation. Jacob in his old age is getting very like Esau. And where before he prayed and walked with God, the character of Esau is coming out now in the raw. The sins of Israel are like unto the sins of Esau. Now look at chapter 2. And I want you to look at the second verse. Because while we have taken this verse before, I'm taking it in a new way now. So we're opening up new lines. We're going in a new direction, and I want you to study it carefully. What happened to Esau? Why, you say, Esau lost his blessings? So he did. And if then the sins of Israel are going to become like the sins of Esau, may we not expect to learn something about Israel losing the blessing of God, of God actually cursing those blessings and leaving Esau, this Esau here, the Esau of Israel, in his misery and emptiness and wretchedness, having lost his inheritance in the Lord. So if the sin is similar between Jacob and Esau, the end result is going to be similar. We can be certain of that. And Esau made a loud lamentation before his father when he discovered that he had lost the blessing. What blessings did Esau lose? Well, let's ask that question. What blessing did Esau lament? What blessing did he lose? Well, for one thing, Esau lost the blessing of the firstborn. And the blessing of the firstborn includes the priesthood. In later years, Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob. He inherited the rights of the kingdom when that kingdom would come. He inherited the rights of the priesthood. He would obtain the double portion of God's blessing. Such a portion, there would not be room enough to receive it. And now I think you're beginning to see connections with Malachi. And the blessing of the firstborn in relation to the priesthood had to be communion with God. It rested upon the head of the firstborn in the family to know God, to provide the leadership in the family for the Lord. The firstborn carries the message. The firstborn has the word of God for the family. He will not only have the right of kingship reigning over the entire family, he will also have the privilege of priesthood, the privilege of communing with God for the rest of the family and of teaching the rest of the family. And when you look at verse 5 of Malachi 2, you'll find God saying of Levi, my covenant was with him of life and peace. He was the firstborn, spiritually speaking. He had the privilege of the priesthood. For the Lord divided up the blessings of the firstborn when through Jacob he took away the rights and privileges from Reuben. Reuben lost everything. The priesthood went to Levi. The kingship went to Judah. The double portion went to Joseph. He just took those 3 points about the privilege of the firstborn and distributed them through the rest of the family. The kingship to Judah, the priesthood to Levi, the double portion to Joseph. We can see how God, in the removal of the privilege from Reuben, gave those privileges to others in the tribes of Jacob. So Levi received the privilege of the firstborn in relation to the priesthood, in relation to communion with God, and this is his blessing above all, to commune with the Most High, to have the Word of God for the people, to have the influence of leadership. Thus in verse 5 of chapter 2, my covenant was with him. He had the privilege. He had the right of the firstborn. He had the key to life and the key to peace, and I gave them to him. You see, verse 6, the law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, or uprightness if you like, and did turn many away from iniquity. He used his privilege as the messenger of the Lord, as the instructor of the families in Israel, and he built up the people of God. The priest's lips, verse 7, should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger, don't you see? He is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Then sadly, verse 8, this is the departure now. This is the giving up of the birthright. This is the loss of those privileges of communion with God. Ye are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people. Esau lost the privilege of the firstborn. He lost the blessing of communing with God, and that went to Jacob. Now that's the introduction. That's the foundational principle to the book. We have taken the introduction. We have treated the introduction like a road sign. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? And we have followed that road, and we have found it very illuminating. Let's ask the question again. What are the sins? More specifically, what are the sins of Esau? And if we can look at some of the sins of Esau, maybe we'll find evidences in the book of Malachi. And we'll see in a remarkable fashion how the very characteristics of Esau are beginning to show in Jacob. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Family relationship is showing. Chapter 2, the book of Malachi, verse 2. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts. There is one of the sins of Esau. He did not lay to heart how greatly God had blessed him. In fact, he despised the birthright, the scripture says. And we'll see that in a moment. When he despised the birthright, he thought nothing of it. It meant actually nothing to him. He did not lay it to heart that he had had a privilege from God that was not to be thrown away. A privilege that was way, way above the price of rubies. And he cast it away for a mess of pottage. He despised the birthright. He did not lay it to heart that God had privileged him in giving him what he had received at all. He did not value the birthright. He despised it. And here is God saying in verse 2 of Malachi 2, if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory or honor, if you like, unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts. And look at chapter 1, verse 6, the last part of verse 6, chapter 1. O priests that despise my name, and this in a verse which says, why will you not give glory or honor unto my name? The message in Malachi 1 and 6 is repeated and amplified in Malachi chapter 2, verse 2. Why is it God is saying that you have despised my name? You have thought so little of me, and how I have honored you and blessed you and shown you my mercy, and now you have despised my name. You have not looked with honor upon that name. You have not counted up your blessings. You have treated them as if they were nothing. Mind you, we could say that's the sin of Ulster. How many blessings this country has had. And there has come a time in the experience of multitudes in this country when they have treated the blessing of God as if it were nothing. We have not laid it to heart. We have not given glory to His name. We have not counted up our blessings. We have treated them as a triviality. We may have been casting them away. And the country as a whole has been doing this, turning away from the Sabbath, turning away from the Bible, turning away from the house of God, turning to blasphemy, turning to hideous sin, turning to rebel against the God of heaven. They have not led it to heart. They have despised God's name. They have despised the Bible. And Christians also, if there is any neglect in the Christian's life, or if, in some sense, the Christian makes little of what God has given him. And mind you, it's not only the hard of heart who will make little. The devil can get you so discouraged in your own soul, so cast down, that you're going to say, "Oh, I am nobody, I'm nothing, I'm of no importance. If I stay away, nobody will miss me." Do you know you're making light of the Lord talking like that? Even if among all this congregation, listen carefully, among all this congregation, if you were the least Christian here, and I'm not saying that, but suppose you were for an instant, and suppose out of everybody else in the congregation, you mattered least. Suppose that were so. Do you know you're still bought with the blood of Christ? Do you know God has given you His Bible? His Holy Word. Do you know God has put into your heart the Holy Ghost? He has given you His Holy Spirit. He has given you a place in glory. He has promised you a crown of life which will never fade away. Think of that. Oh, don't make little of what God has done for you. You may not be the person you want to be. And you may not be as spiritual as you'd like to be, or as gifted in prayer as you'd want to be, but you belong to the Lord. You're precious to God. Don't forget that. Don't despise. Don't make little of what God has done. Don't go away and commit the sin of Esau, not laying it to heart. Don't despise what God has done. I think it will help if we go to the book of Genesis, Genesis 25. Genesis 25. And we will try to limit our remarks about these two, Jacob and Esau. Remember the question, was not Esau Jacob's brother? We have to think of their similarities as well as their differences. The sins that later came up in Jacob that were indeed the sins of Esau. And there Esau coming in from the field, verse 29 of Genesis 25, is faint and weary. And don't you remember reading in Malachi chapter 1 of the Levites being weary and saying as they came up to the house of God, what a weariness is in it. They were weary of serving the Lord. They had lost the zeal and the enthusiasm, and the fire was no longer set at light in their souls. And Esau is weary, and coming in he says to Jacob, verse 30, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, or as it is in the original, feed me with that red stuff that you have there. Just give me that, he's saying. And so the scripture says his name was Edom. He got the name Edom. That name Edom resembles very closely the word that he was using there twice over, that red stuff you've got. It smells good. I'm weary and completely dropping off my feet. Just give me that red stuff you have. Esau was a man of the field. He didn't care for matters of the home. He would have spoken of it in that fashion. It was just stuff to him. That red stuff. And the word red, and the word Edom, come from the very same root in the Hebrew. So he was called Edom. And every time you read that word Edom, and do you remember reading it in Malachi chapter 1? It's there. It's found in Malachi 1. The word Edom. Just to remind you how he got that name. The name Edom was given to him after the time he sold his birthright. It's called Edom. He sold it. He traded the Lord. He sold out the Lord. Therefore he was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Verse 31. Let me have the birthright, Jacob says. And Esau concludes, well, I'm going the way of death. I'm going to die someday. What profit then shall this birthright do to me? And we've got that question asked in Malachi, not about the birthright explicitly, but the line is, what profit is there in the service of the Lord? Malachi 3. In verse 13 and 14, if you're taking notes, what profit is there? And that's exactly what Esau said. What profit is there if I keep the birthright and I'm starving to death here and someday I'm going to die anyway, so what does the birthright matter? If I'm going to grow old and die, what will it matter if I have the birthright? Certainly I'll sell it. And he traded his birthright. He traded his inheritance in the Lord. He swore that day and sold it to Jacob. Then verse 34 says, and maybe verse 34 is the kind of verse you would read through so quickly and you would see nothing in it. But I tell you, you should not read it so quickly. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The word thus in the original is also and, if you like. So these conjunctions are linking up the activity of Esau. Let me read it in that fashion. And he did eat, and drink, and rose up, and went his way. And Esau despised his birthright. Do you see how the divine author brings out the fact that for Esau to despise his birthright is to indicate that Esau thought little of his inheritance in God. He thought nothing of the birthright. He treated it as a matter of no consequence. And I have said there are people who are not saved who are doing that. Doesn't matter whether I'm saved or not. Doesn't matter if I turn to the Lord today or not. Doesn't matter if I believe the Bible or not. Yes, it does. Doesn't matter if I play about with sin. Yes, it does. Not to run to the devil. And what about the Christian who's going to say, it doesn't matter if I go to the prayer meeting any time on the Sabbath day or on the Monday evening or some other time. And I firmly believe, men and women, every Christian should be at one of the prayer meetings in the week. If you can't get on the Monday night, and get to one of the prayer meetings before the services. Every Christian, without fail, should be at one of the prayer meetings. But if somebody says it doesn't matter, doesn't matter whether I go or not, I'm afraid it does. It does matter. Don't despise your birthright. Don't make nothing. Don't treat it as if it were nothing. You have a privilege that multitudes in this country do not share. And you are not to treat it as if it were nothing. Do you see then verse 34 of Genesis 25? Let's put it this way. He ate and he drank. He never thought a thing about the birthright. He enjoyed the food, what he was eating, what he was drinking. His body was satisfied. He never thought about his soul. And he rose up, leaving the birthright behind him. Never cost him a thought. And he went his way. He went straight out from the camp. He went straight out from the company of Jacob, and he left behind him something money could never buy. He went out with not a thought. And the scripture says, and thus, by eating and drinking without care, with abandon, and rising up and leaving that portion behind him, his birthright there, and walking out through the tent door and leaving the things of God, his calling in Christ Jesus, behind him as if it were nothing, thus did Esau despise his birthright. He had no feeling about it. Never cost him a thought. He was a man of the flesh, you see. Oh, God says in the book of Malachi, you're not laying it to heart. You're acting like a man of the flesh. It means nothing to you. You're despising my name. You're despising the calling, the privilege I have given you. That's the sin of Esau. Will you sail out for a mess of pottage? And it doesn't matter what it is. It's just a mess of pottage. That's the end result. Whatever you're going to trade the Lord for this week. And some of you here today, you're not living right. You're committing the sin of Esau. You're despising the name of the Lord. You're trading Christ for a mess. That's what you're doing. You are trading Christ for a mess. A mess of pottage. The sin of Esau. Look again at Malachi chapter 2. And you'll see that the word profane is used. And of course profane occurs in Malachi chapter 1 as well. But we'll stick to chapter 1 verse 10. By profaning the covenant of our fathers. And there's the sin of Esau. For Hebrews 12 tells us of Esau. That profane person. A worldly minded man. Who just lived as if there was no hereafter. As if spiritual things did not matter. Don't get too much overboard about the things of God. Don't be too full of zeal. You could get carried away, people are saying. Don't go crazy about the things of God. Just keep it in its place. Go along on Sunday and sit in the house of God. And if you can't get the second time, it won't matter. Don't be too excited about it. Listen, that's not right. You should be excited about it. Never profane the name of the Lord. That's like bringing the character of the world right into your life. Don't make little of the things of God, and then don't go out and live like a worldly person, as if you had no upbringing in the house of God. You're not to forget your upbringing, what you were taught in your childhood. That's profaning the name of the Lord, a profane person. Then look again, verse 11. And this is another striking comparison. The sin of Esau, once more. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned. That word again. Esau. Is not Esau Jacob's brother? He has profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. Isn't that the sin of Esau? Yes, it is. Genesis 26, verses 34 and 35. Esau married into the Hittites. He married among the ungodly. And these things were a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah. I'm looking at Genesis. Genesis 26 and 35. And I find that Esau took himself wives of the Hittites. And these, verse 35, were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. They distressed those elderly godly parents because they had been brought into the camp of God. These worldly wicked women were brought into the camp of God. Esau had married them, Canaanitish women, and they were a grief of mind. And later on, Rebekah says, these women are going to be the death of me, she says to her husband. Bringing this alien spirit in among the people of God. Don't let Jacob make the same mistakes, he advises. You see, Esau married in among the ungodly. I want to tell you, young person, now if you're a Christian, don't ever allow a friendship to develop in your life whereby you're going to be married to an ungodly person. You will know the stand of our church. We can marry unconverted people. We can marry those who belong to the Lord. And we cannot marry a converted person to an unconverted person. That's the sin of Esau. You have despised my name. You cannot do that. The sin of Esau. A grief of mind. An affliction of soul. And then look at verse 13. And this ye have done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and crying out. And that word crying out expresses exactly the response of Esau when he had lost the blessing. He cried out with bitter lamentation, with a great cry, an exceeding great cry. And he was weeping before his father. But he never repented. There was much weeping, but no repentance. And maybe you have wept. You wept over sorrow and hurt and injury because your sin has broken your heart. You've wept. And I have to tell you, you'll weep again. You'll weep again. Unless there's repentance. It's a sad thing for Esau to weep. And we read about it in Hebrews 12. How he wept with tears and cried out to his father. And he missed the blessing. He had lost what God had given him. You can't lose your salvation. You can lose the joy of walking with God. You can lose your power. You can lose your testimony. Esau wept, but he never repented. Maybe in the lonely place you have wept, and you haven't turned to God. You haven't come back. You should have done. I should say also, if you look at Malachi 2 verse 10, and I won't expand on this, but it says, why deal we every man against his brother treacherously? The Old Testament tells us how from that day onwards, Jacob hated Esau. Bitterness was there. That word hated is not the usual one in the Bible for hate. When it says that Esau hated Jacob in Genesis 27:41, it's not the usual word. Rather, is it the word from which the name of Satan comes? That's a sad thing. It's as if Satan put that hate in his heart. To think that that word hate, used between Esau and Jacob, is the word from which the name of Satan comes, seems to say to me that the devil got in that day. The devil took over. And here it is in the book of Malachi, why deal we treacherously, wickedly, devilishly against a brother? We're not to do it. The sin of Esau. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Is it not a natural thing for the likeness to the brother to appear? It ought not so to be. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, my heart is heavy today. As we bow our heads, close our eyes in God's presence, my heart is heavy. I think of this question. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? The likeness in the family. The character of Esau starts to show. That's tragic. Don't give up your privilege as a child of God. You have a privilege of communing, of praying, of walking with God, of having your Bible. Don't give it up. Don't trade it. Whatever the devil wants you to do, don't go into business with the devil. Don't go into partnership with the devil. Don't be trading away forever what God has given you. Don't despise his name. Don't sit down, eat and drink today and rise up and then go out and forget all about it. Oh, don't let that be your response in this meeting. You'll just rise up and go out, forget all about it, and thus Esau despised his birthright. Thought nothing of it. Never thought about it again till the day his heart was broken and he wept so bitterly. Never thought about it. Never cost him a thought. Don't trade the Lord. Don't give up the Lord for the world. I beg of you. I know what I'm talking about. I know what the world is. I know the world is the devil's lie. I don't want you to go away giving up the precious jewel of the truth and laying hold on the devil's lie. Don't trade your inheritance. Don't give it up. Don't play at being Esau. O Lord, speak on this day. Help us to love Thee, to love Thy name, Thy word, and Thy day, and the fellowship. Bless every family here and all our loved ones. Keep us under Thy wing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.